You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Democrat Randy Bryce's congressional campaign recently became the first campaign to unionize its workers. We'll learn more about what campaign work is like and why some staffers are deciding to organize. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Marathon County is developing local regulations for metallic mining, stricter than state laws are now. The state's budget office says $90 million of road funding will be diverted to Foxconn-related projects. And UW-Madison is chiming in on a high school walkout protest planned for later this month. Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Well, last year, Rob, Governor Walker signed this bill that ended the mining moratorium, as it was called. It made metallic mining in the state easier. Now we're seeing that local officials in your neck of the woods, Marathon County, might be crafting their own regulations. So what are people talking about there?
Sure. So when the governor signed the law in December, it was by design. The new rules wouldn't take effect until June. And so when that happened, the state senator, Jerry Petruski, who's a Republican from Marathon County, he issued a statement saying that he wanted to make sure that that local governments could use that time to update their own zoning ordinances if they wanted to continue to exclude mining or certain types or put restrictions on mining companies that might want to come into Wisconsin. So this week and in this month, Marathon County has taken up that challenge and is seeking to require some special permitting from any company that would want to mine for metals in the area, and to put some restrictions on where they could go and other sorts of regulations like this.
There was a public hearing about this last night, and here's Marathon County's Corporation Counsel Scott Corbett talking about what the county has the ability to make decisions on.
The county has the power to regulate the operations that are going to occur at the location, plan for economic impacts, plan for impacts on well water, plan for impacts on roads and other infrastructure. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create a framework of conditions for mine companies to meet that would address those concerns.
And Rob, this isn't all hypothetical. It sounds like there is a site that potentially could be mined that would be covered under these laws. Can you talk about that?
Right. There's a site sort of east of Wausau in Marathon County that has been under discussion as a gold mining site. And the specifics of it are, it's who knows, right? But there is concrete interest in this site, and a company that has wanted to and pushed for these changes in the past. Had tried to get an exemption from some of the laws. So it's not hypothetical or abstract, but it is a little. It's just very hard to know what sort of impacts we're talking about or what the scale is. There are still a lot of questions, I think, around the proposal.
And what is the timeline for Marathon County potentially putting in these stricter regulations?
Right. So the county is working on a fairly fast timeline. There are county board members who hope to take a vote on this this month. Now, there was a public hearing you played a little bit of sound from that was heavily attended by a bunch of people who are, saying that these regulations didn't go far enough and needed to be more strict still. And so the board decided to take more time with that. So we don't exactly know, but they're going to try to have something passed by the end of March.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from the USA Today Network Wisconsin about some of the top stories in Wisconsin news this week. Foxconn remains in the news, Rob, and this week the state legislature's budget office released a memo with an update on transportation funding being used for the Foxconn Technology Plant project in southeastern Wisconsin. What did we learn this week?
Right. So if Foxconn requires new roads, Foxconn gets new roads is what it comes down to. So in the new analysis, the finding is that the state would shift about $90 million in the highway projects away from various other parts of the state in order to direct them to the southeastern part of the state and the Foxconn area to accommodate that massive project.
What have lawmakers said in response to this?
Well, so this is, I mean, you know, we this is not the first time we've talked about Foxconn on this program, and you've talked to plenty of people who have strong feelings on this topic, and it's a polarized issue, right? And you know, you can see the way that that Democrats see this as a vulnerability for Governor Walker, and that the cost, their argument, the cost of the incentives that the state has offered is too high for the benefit that the new plant would bring. Walker's case, you know, is, on Foxconn is one thing. His case on this specific, these diversions, is that by making these changes to the proposed highway project, that's what allows, that's what keeps Wisconsin from having to raise a gas tax. So his argument is that that if we did this the way that, you know, Democrats want it, we would be raising the gas tax and then we would all be paying more. Of course, it can be politically challenging to get credit for something that didn't happen. You know, it's hard to know whether that will, what sort of valence that will have, but that's kind of the shape of the argument now.
Then moving to a national story with echoes here in Wisconsin, on March 14th, a walkout protest is planned for high school students around the country. Students intend to leave class to draw attention to gun control after the mass shooting at a Florida school. UW-Madison has weighed into this, and it's kind of a tangled path to get there. Can you talk us through it, Rob?
Sure. Well, so the students in Florida have been serving as spokespeople for on the issue of gun control and new gun restrictions. And yeah, so the protest is being called the March for Our Lives school walkout. And the idea is that students who feel the same and want to call for these changes should leave school on March 14th and hold an organized protest. Now, if you're a high school student and maybe you're thinking about applying to colleges, you know, and it is true, that most college applications will ask the question, have you ever been suspended from school? And if you walked out of class one day, there is a risk that you might be suspended from school. So, you know, I think that some of the response that has happened from universities has been in response to a concern that, like, parents or, you know, school principals or other authority figures would give young people the impression that if they participate in this, that it would have, you know, huge deleterious effects on their future prospects. And so UW-Madison, Marquette University, Beloit College, Lawrence, a bunch of Wisconsin schools have made public statements to take the time to say to any student who protests this, this will not be held against you in your admissions. You can use your First Amendment rights and participate in a protest without fearing that you'll get in trouble from us for it.
And Rob, before I let you go, I want to touch on another story. There is a cougar making the rounds, and we're always looking for wildlife sightings here on Central Time. Latest sighting, I guess, in Menominee Falls. Can you follow the trail of the cougar?
We love a cougar story, but I mean, it is amazing. Like there are pictures that, you know, these cougars, you know, peering into people's windows and appearing on people's doorsteps. It's a whole thing. The most recent sighting was in Menominee Falls. The DNR thinks this is the same cat that was seen walking up to a Brookfield home and being sighted sort of in that, again, southeastern Wisconsin area. But the cougar could be anywhere. Keep your eye out, I say.
And I understand the DNR thinks it came probably from the nearest known cougar population, placing it in South Dakota?
It seems far away. I mean, I think at this point, this cougar is an immigrant to Wisconsin. Is this cougar really going back to South Dakota? I don't know.
Rob, we'll keep watching for it. Thanks a lot for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joined us for our weekly roundup of state news.